5 a.m., I'm up with a crisp Celsius energy drink. Running 12 miles today. Grab a green juice, quick change, and head to work. Meetings, workshops, one more Celsius, no slowing down. Working late, but obviously still meeting the girls for a little dancing. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
We're back inside Boxing Live. Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri, and we're powered by PPV.com. On PPV.com on December 6th, you can see Chris Algieri rocking the merch. On December 6th, Pitbull Cruz stepping into the ring with Lamont Roach, Janabek versus Lara. Some other fights are going to be announced on that card. In San Antonio, Texas, we're heading down there to do the Riverwalk to remember the Alamo. There was nothing to laugh about the Alamo. I wasn't making a joke about the Alamo last episode. I made a dad joke. Anyway, PPV.com is the place to go for that week. You know, by now, if you've been following along, we provide great content, boots on the ground. We are live interactive chat the night of the fight. A whole slew of content coming your way. December 6th fight week, which is right around the corner. Pitbull Cruz versus Lamont Roach, who I'm starting to think that, Pitbull could give Roach a shot, a fight in this one. I'm not just about to say that Lamont Roach is going to just walk over Pitbull Cruz, but it's going to be a great fight, and it's going to be on PPV.com. It is Sunday, October 26th, and we're talking boxing. Once again, Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. Feeling, just went a little bike ride to Dunkin'. Got my iced coffee, so
Dunkin' guy, huh?
Dunkin', yeah. I'm not a Starbucks guy. I prefer to have like a regular cafe type place. But if I'm in a rush, I'm going Dunkin' because they're cold.
All right. Since we're talking coffee, I got an espresso. I got a latte here from my local coffee shop. I had texted you before. There's a full fledged Pilates class going on the sidewalk. They're setting up a DJ booth in the coffee shop for the after party. What am I doing here talking to you? Why am I not down there?
Because we have news. We got to talk about boxing, man. People want to hear what we have to say about last night's fight. So we got to be here. You're sacrificing a good time to bring people what they want to hear. That's a selfless act, Dan. I appreciate you. And our listeners should too.
Right. The things I do for you guys and everyone out there. Yeah, we got to talk about heavyweight fight.
Did you get flamed for the Alamo comment? Did you get
flamed like... You were saying, Obi, you can't forget the Alamo. And I said, you got to remember the Alamo, which is like a dad joke. Because remember, it's always remember the Alamo.
Yeah.
So everyone kind of took that as me making a joke about the Alamo situation. Like, no way. Do not cancel me over the Alamo. If I could canceled over the Alamo, then that would sucks.
Of all the things that you could say, that would be a really lame way to go out.
Yeah, come on. I respect the Alamo. I respect history. I respect San Antonio. I can't wait to head down there. That's December 6th, of course. That's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that because it's not Vegas. And it's not that I have anything against Vegas. I don't want to start offending people from Vegas. It's just something different, you know? It's a different style.
San Antonio's my favorite. That's my favorite Texan city. I'm a big fan of San Antonio. I've been there a lot because you'd be an Austin guy. Nah, I mean, I haven't been to Austin in a while, but it's gotten too busy and uppity over there. But San Antonio is still like cool. It's like chill. It's good food. People are really nice. I love Mexicans. So that's Mexican Americans, Mexicans, you name it. I love them. We love you on this show. Even though Dan tries to make jokes sometimes that fall flat on their face.
I've never made a joke about a Mexican. If I made a joke about Mexicans, that would be horrendous because they are the lifeblood of the sport.
Yes. Yes. And the best fans in the world. So
Mexicans and Brits. And speaking of Brits, Chris, good gracious. Fabio Wardley stops Joseph Parker in the 11th round. Controversial stoppage. We will, of course, get to that. But Wardley won. He got his hand raised at the end of the day. He's probably looking at an Usyk fight, real life, Rocky type of stuff, fight of the year contender type of stuff. Joseph Parker, once again, go to the back of the line. Unbelievable stuff we saw at the O2 Arena. I'll ask you flat out because it's the question everyone wants to ask today. Was that a bad stoppage?
It wasn't a great stoppage, put it that way. It wasn't the worst I've ever seen. And if you look at the interview that Andy Lee did at the press conference after the post-fight press conference, they asked him about that. And he was just kind of like, yeah, like, you know, there was an opportunity for the ref to step in, you know, certain points during that exchange. And he did. And that's just kind of the way the cookie crumbles. And it it was, I thought, a little premature. I thought that you got to give Joe Parker the benefit of the doubt, being the, you know, the kind of guy that he is and the kind of warrior that is, and also having the chin that he's always shown. But at the end of the day, I mean, the fight was awesome. It looked like Wardley was really coming on. I kind of saw that late stoppage coming. And I did something a little sneaky, Dan. I gotta admit. So we did the show last week prior to this fight. We talked about it. We made our decisions, and we were talking about possibly the idea of sprinkling a little dough here and there. And as we were talking during that discussion about, you know, who was going to win, I picked Parker by decision. I think at the time you picked Parker by decision, but then later changed it to KO. I threw some money down on a Wardley KO because it was plus 450. So I sprinkled a little bit of money there. So I was a little more than excited when the fight went the way that it did.
Bro, you
on
do
top
this
of it.
All the time.
I know.
You gotta be flip flopper Algeri. One show and you give your pick. You go on another show, you give your pick. You tell people to bet this. You tell people not to bet this. You tell me to not fight Shakur off the air. Then on the podcast, you tell me I gotta fight Shakur. Flip flopping Algeri.
Hey man, it's part of having two faces and you know, one in the public and one behind closed doors. You can't,
well,
can't lay it all out
too.
There.
I went live on YouTube during the fight or before the fight because I thought it was going to be a banger, and I'm glad I did. But you texted me and I actually read it out. I was like, "Yo, Algeri put money on Wardley," and I thought you did a live bet. I thought you did a live bet like in the second round, which would have been even crazier of a bet. I didn't know you placed it earlier, but I went and said it on the live. So whoever was watching our live was getting your text from me like in real time, not on the screen, but I was reading them out. I was like, oh shit. Wow, Algeri picked Wardley by stoppage. And I didn't put two and two together that you put out multiple picks, multiple bets. Hedging your happiness, they call it. Did you put the bet down on Parker or no?
No, no. I literally was just like, this is just, it was just a sprint. I saw plus 450 and I was like, that's just so much money. I'm like, all right, let me just.
It wasn't
a little bit
good
on there
either for your pick.
No, it wasn't. And listen, I kind of thought, you know, I still thought that Parker was going to win by decision. I didn't think he was going to, you know, get stopped. But I was just like, it's just such good odds. And my brother even told me, I asked him later, or he asked me later. He's like, why didn't you tell me about the pick? I'm like, it wasn't really a pick. It was just a wide shot, and it was a sprinkle, and it worked. But it did make it more exciting. I will say
that. I need you to donate that money to a charity.
Yeah, that's probably the right thing to do.
All right. Yeah, back to the stoppage. I watched it. In the moment, I lost my mind. I went live on YouTube. That was an awesome time. Going to do those a lot more of those. I didn't know, like, is there an audience for that? Do people want to watch? I know a lot of other creators do those live streams, but there was a lot of people in our community was in that stream.
That's awesome.
We were having a blast. And you can see I posted my reaction because I lost my mind during that stoppage because – It looked bad. Like, if Parker is the guy that was putting everything up on the line in this fight, in the moment it looked really bad. But the more I've watched it, and the more I've kind of calmed down a little bit, we're about a couple, you know, 12 hours removed from it. Not the worst stoppage. Still think it should have went on a little longer. But what's the scenario, Chris? What do we want to see? We want to see Parker laid out on the canvas, completely out cold. Is that what we want to see? I believe he was tired. Because he wasn't throwing. I believe he was also hurt because there was a crazy exchange right before that where his back went to the ropes. And also the 10th round, he was staggering back to his corner, Parker, very, very hurt. You have to add all those things in. Referees do that. I know Howard Foster is under a lot of heat right now. But they're in the ring. They were seeing close stuff. They saw the brutal second round where
and
Parker
big guys.
Was wobbled.
Big, dangerous
What's
guys.
That?
They're
exactly.
big, dangerous guys, too.
Dude, big, dangerous guys throwing heavy leather. You know, there was a lot of things that led up to that final exchange. And that final exchange, 40 unanswered punches thrown by Wardley. Not a lot of them landed.
40? Wow.
I counted between 35 and 40 unofficially. And Parker threw three. But what was weird is that when Parker finally threw back, that's when Foster stopped the fight.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes, though. It's like they're waiting. Because they've already made the decision to stop the fight. And then, you know, the opponent then starts throwing. But yeah, when you put it in perspective like that, and even at the time, like, I did think it was a little premature, but the writing was on the wall. You could see it going that way. I saw the stoppage coming. So when he stepped in, I was like, it would have seen like those seen a couple more shots just for the sake of Joe Parker. Maybe he could have gotten through that. But no, it wasn't that bad of a stoppage. And especially when you hear the way the guys talked about it afterwards. And it's not like Parker threw a fit afterwards. He was tired. Honestly, I think he got hurt early in that fight and never really recovered. Because that happens in fights. Yeah, that happens in fights, guys, where you get hit early on and you're just not yourself the rest of the time. Because Parker didn't look as stable as he normally does. He's usually such a stalwart, you know, in every fight that he's in. Even with big punchers, he just didn't look the same. Also, the added weight, I think, affected him in terms of his gas tank, because he normally has a fantastic battery. But he did look a little gassed at the end of that fight. And, man, Wardley, we'll talk about Wardley individually, but, man, what a performance.
Yeah, I had Parker up 96-94 at the time of the stoppage. One of the judges had that as well. Another judge had 98-92 Parker, which is a little too wide. And then another judge had it even. So even or Parker barely up. But yeah, Parker was badly hurt in the second round. But then I had him losing the third, Parker. Then I had Parker winning rounds 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Like, he took over those middle rounds, Parker, because I think Wardley gassed out. Wardley started off great with that jab. And I was like, wow, I can't believe Wardley is beating Parker to the punch with the jab in the center of the ring as the guy that's the inexperienced guy with zero background and zero amateur background, I should say, for Wardley. But I don't understand. Like, yeah, he was hurt in that second round, Parker, for sure. But then he bounced back to win those middle rounds. And he was up. And he was, I wouldn't say he was running away with the fight. But if you go to the 10th round.
Kind of was. Kind of was.
He kind of was, yeah. He kind of was. He was starting to rack up rounds. I was like, all right, Wardley's down. Like, he was 100% down on the cards when Wardley landed that in the 10th and then into the 11th. That 10th round was complete cinema. Like, I just went back and watched it. Someone posted on Twitter. Parker had Wardley almost out.
Yeah.
And then 10 seconds later, Wardley lands something, and Parker is nearly out and is stumbling back to his corner. That was the beginning of the end for Parker. It was the end of the 10th round into the 11th. Why Foster waved it off. But going back to the stoppage, unanswered punches don't look good, even if they're not even landing. Like, I don't think Wardley landed more than 3 or 4 punches during that 35 to 40 punch, final combination. Parker was not throwing back. His back was to the ropes. Should he have taken a knee? Why don't fighters take knees? I'm talking to a guy that famously took a knee that saved him. Why don't fighters take a knee?
Same reason that fighters don't clinch. Guys don't know how to hold. It's something you learn how to do. And it's, you know who actually taught me to take in the knee? You know, Joe Cortez. Literally. I was in his museum ring at his house in Las Vegas. And I was doing pads with my coach. And he grabs me and he jumps in the ring. And he shows me a few things about referees. Not about boxing. He was talking to me about referees. And how they move around the ring and when to look out for whatever a referee is doing. And he spoke to me about clinching. And he told me that clinching is not illegal. Excessive clinching is. Clinching can be used very smartly if you need it, if you need help. He goes, another thing that you could do to help is to take a knee. He's like, if you take a knee, you lose a point. But if you don't take a knee and you get knocked out, you lose a fight. And that stuck with me. That's where that came from when I took the knee. It was from Joe Cortez. So it's something you have to learn how to do. It's something you have to be taught that is okay. Because, you know, we're fighters. We're like, you never take a knee. You never go down. You never this. You never. Okay, but then you lose the fight. And in that situation, if Joe Parker had taken a knee, Wardley was punched out. He threw so many punches in that round. He looked tired. That last, if you look at the replay again, the referee steps in on a big left hook from Wardley. He throws this looping, wild, ugly, exhausted right uppercut and then a good slapping left hook that actually landed because he was tired. He was diving in. If Joe Parker survives that stint, if he takes a knee, we could be talking about a different victor today.
Bro, he was going to lose 10 that round anyway.
Yeah.
10-9. Like, make it a 10-8. It could have even been a 10-8. I know judges don't like to give out 10-8s like that, but...
Yeah. I wouldn't have given it a 10-8, but I'm not a judge, so...
But like 10-8 is hard. Is we don't see any 10-10s. We don't see any 10-8s without a knockdown. Judges are, I guess, a little apprehensive to do that. But that's a pretty interesting story with Cortez. I'm fair, yeah, but I'm firm. You're in his house. He's telling you that. Did you really think of Joe Cortez in that moment?
During my fight? No.
Or I was just, ow, everything hurts?
No, I was just thinking, Nate, it wasn't exactly thinking what he said, but it stuck in my head that I was like, if I can't see, I can't fight. And right now I can't see. So I was hoping my vision would come back. I wasn't sure if it was. So I was like, I'm under fire. I can't see. I have a murderous puncher literally shot out of a cannon from across the ring at me. So I was like, all right, let me just give me a moment. And a moment is I gave up a point in a round, and it was a big point. But then my vision came back while I was on my knee, and I was like, okay. I was like, if I have one eye, I can fight. If I can see, I can fight. And wow, that's you know what was going through my head.
Yeah, Parker probably should have took a knee. It's hard to think of that in the moment when you're exhausted, yeah, when everyone's screaming. It's a, you know, it's wild. But in hindsight, I don't understand why, or I do understand, but I'd like to see more fighters do that. I think they're afraid of the point. I think they're afraid of a lot of things, the machismo of the sport, heavyweight boxing, and all that. But he takes a knee there, gathers himself. Because I do believe Parker was hurt. But I also believe he was just tired as well.
Very tired.
He was just exhausted. So was Wardley. Props to Wardley. I know we're talking about this. This is like how we're wired as sports fans, as boxing people. As we talk about the controversy, we talk about what Parker did wrong. Let's talk about Wardley. Fabio Wardley fought an outstanding fight. Weathered the storm. Banked rounds early with a jab. Super athletic. Weathers the middle rounds where he was down on the cards once again. Clutch gene, a jaw and a chin made out of granite.
Yeah.
Unbelievable performance for him. This guy goes from having zero amateur background to now 20-plus fights, is on the doorstep of fighting Alexander Usyk for the undisputed heavyweight titles. This is Rocky stuff. This is Rocky stuff from Fabio Wardley.
The progression that this man has shown in his last couple fights, because he's learning on the job. He had what? What did he have, like three amateur white collar fights or something, like something crazy like that?
Yep, four.
And he's, you know, now he's 20-0-1 with 19 knockouts. Obviously, he's a big puncher. Obviously, he's got the physical talent in that way. I didn't realize how athletic he is. He looked so good early in that fight. The way that he was pulling and slipping and so twitchy and jerky and using that jab from the left hand down position, fighting with the hand in the pocket and jabbing from there with a guy like Parker, super impressive. And the fact that he was able to keep that up, the only thing that you didn't mention, Dan, that I'm going to add, was his gas tank. He showed a great gas tank. I thought for sure, because of his lack of experience and all the knockouts, that he was going to fade late. He didn't. Parker was the guy who actually faded. And part of that goes because Wardley is a tremendous puncher. Part of that goes that he is very explosive and quick and athletic, and he's able to deliver that power in a way that I think really caught Joe off guard, which made him more tired as the fight wore on. But also the fact that he came in fantastic condition. His confidence level throughout the entire fight was super admirable. And you mentioned the chin, dude. I was watching the Hooney fight back, you know, this week, in preparing for this fight. Dude, he was getting hit with some big shots in that fight. And he doesn't waver under the pressure of big punches. He doesn't panic. And that's one of the reasons that he's so dangerous, and he can pull that, you know, that clutch gene, like you said. He doesn't panic. He sits and waits for his moment. I'm super impressed with Wardley and the way that he's progressing. This guy's going to be really dangerous for a while.
Yeah,
he's getting better.
It's fun to have a new kid on the block. I know he's 30, but like breath of fresh air in the heavyweight division. He's like a super affable guy, you know, hometown guy, but also is like a Rocky type. And he's kind of like Deontay Wilder. Not a direct comparison, but you tuned into Deontay Wilder because he would be down on the cards, and all of a sudden he would erase his opponent. And I don't know if Wardley has like the one punch stuff. Like he did do that to Hooney, but it's the same type of recipe, it's the same type of formula. We heard the same quote after the fight from Frank Warren. You know, it's a 36-minute fight, but we only need one punch. I believe I heard that numerous times after a Deontay Wilder fight. It was became his calling card. It became his marketing chip. Now with Wardley and the Brits behind him, this is fun. This is exciting. The sport needs this. We need stories like this. It's getting stale in the heavyweight division. But to your point with the punches thrown, Wardley threw 56 punches in round 10 and 52 in round 11. He didn't throw more than 40 in any other round.
Wow. So late charge.
He threw 59 in round 2. That was the big round where he had Parker wobbled. But after the second round, it was down. His output went down. And he also landed in those final two rounds. He landed 53 punches in rounds 10 and 11 to only 21 for Parker. So it was an onslaught late. This wasn't.
They were bombs too. Like those are big. Those shots. are heavy shots. Really impressed. You know, like I said, the gas tank for him to put that kind of late charge together, where you know he was out hustled for big swaths of that fight, especially in those middle rounds.
Do you think Parker should have went for the kill in those middle rounds? I was saying it on the live, and I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I was like, all right, yeah, Parker's winning, but where's the zip on his punches? 262 pounds. Why isn't he sitting down on his shots? He's banking rounds. But every minute that Wardley is still standing, he is dangerous. I thought in those middle rounds, five, six, seven, eight, nine, where I had Parker winning every round, Wardley wasn't throwing much, and Parker was doing just enough. I was like, man, Parker needs to put this guy away. Are you kind of a little bit surprised that Parker didn't have a lot of zip on those punches despite being 262 pounds?
Yeah, I thought about in the middle rounds, and I thought about that during the fight, actually. And part of it was I was like, it is because he is 262. So the zip is one thing, but like, you know, carrying speed. Around that extra weight. Yeah, the speed. You know, yeah, he's physically strong, but like power and strength are different things. But also, it could have been by design by Andy Lee, who's a brilliant tactician, coach, strategic coach. Listen, this guy's dangerous. If you go for it, you're leaving opportunities for him to hit you with that shot. Also, again, I really think that Joe got hurt early and never fully recovered. I think that he kind of thought, yeah, this guy can hurt me. He's hurt me now, and he can hurt me. And everything he hits me with is kind of buzzing me. Joe just didn't look comfortable getting hit with punches from Wardley all night long. So I've been in fights like that where I got hit early, and my punch resistance for the rest of the night was down. I always had a good chin until the very end. And so, like, I would take a shot. Man, I could feel a shot early on. I'd take a good shot. Boom. Okay. All right. I can take that. That's good. Then I've had other fights where I got hit early. Even, but I remember early enough, I got hit with a jab by this journeyman type guy and it hit me right on the chin and it rocked me. I felt it. Didn't show anything. Didn't go down. Nothing like that. But every punch after that, even block shots, were ringing me. Because your chin was damaged at that point. You need a full recovery. So that can happen in a fight. You can get hit with a shot that sets like you off for the rest of the night. It's a nightmare.
It's got to be a nightmare scenario, right?
You just gave up. You walked into a fight with a chin and then it disappeared on you in the first round. And now you got to fight really smart. I think we had a little bit of that with Joe Parker. I think the explosiveness of Wardley is it makes him a really dangerous puncher. And I think he hits you with shocking power, which is why you see the great knockouts and that we've seen from him.
Yeah, round two, I had it circled where Parker went back to his corner, wobbled, and then I had Wardley win the next two rounds. And then Parker woke up, Wardley stopped throwing, and then that's where we get towards the end of the fight where that 10th round. I'm telling you, 10th round is probably round of the year. I know last week we were talking about that Juarez-Leighton fight, which will be in the discussion. But, you know, that's not amateur, but it's like, early on fight, less than 10 fights for these guys. This is like for the heavyweight crown. This is for a shot at the heavyweight crown. That's cinema. That's absolute just wild scenes, high stakes, crowd going nuts at the O2, you know, Fury ringside. Everywhere. It was just an awesome scene there. I mean, the undercard was dreadful. The co-main event was one of the worst fights I've ever seen. It was a cruiserweight fight for the IBO vacant title. Like, IBO needs to pack up and leave after that. Dreadful. But that's boxing for you, where you can have one of the worst cards ever, can be completely silent in there during the co-main. Then all of a sudden, you turn that up to about a billion, and you leave that arena. I know everyone in that arena left, like, buzzing. Like, I was buzzing at about 6:30 p.m. Eastern, and I didn't know what to do with myself.
I was asleep by 9 p.m. last night. I was the adrenaline dump from the 5 p.m. main event really put did a number on me. I slept a good 10 hours last night. I feel awesome today. But I mean, it was a fantastic fight and potentially, you know, like you said, fight of the year type fight. Can I say poor Joe? I'm like, this fight is great and it's so exciting for the sport and it's cinema, like you said, but damn, Joseph Parker, man, this poor guy. And I know last podcast,
this
I was like, listen,
guy.
This guy's
this
making
rich,
money.
This rich and, guy.
But I was also at that point thinking he was still going to win this fight and he's still going to get his title shot. This poor guy has been stepped over so many times to not get the title shot and to lose at this point. And I had said this a while ago. I'm like, they're going to keep putting him in with young, hungry guys until finally one of them beats him. And it was Wardley last night. And it's just unfortunate. Again, just like Andy Lee said, that's the sport. That's how things happen sometimes. It's unfortunate. But Joe got angled out of his position, you know, by the younger, hungrier guy. But listen, that's the way this work goes sometimes.
It is. It is the way it's sports. Will they run it back? Will we see Fabio Wardley versus Joseph Parker again? I think it comes down to Usyk. If Usyk jumps in and says, I will fight Wardley, we are getting that fight next. If Usyk says, my back hurts, I don't want to fight him, I'm going to fight Fury, I want more money, then we probably see Parker Wardley again. I believe it warrants a rematch. It was that good of a fight. Mm-hmm. Controversial ending. It did well financially. There were a lot of people in that O2 arena. So we could see Parker versus Wardley again. Parker needs to rest. His face afterwards was all sorts of messed up. He needs some rest. But it all hinges on Usyk. Usyk is the man here. He's the heavyweight champion. He's undisputed champion. He's the best heavyweight of this generation. So I believe if Usyk says, Wardley, you're next. And Wardley said Usyk's name after the fight. Very smart of him right away.
Usyk.
Brilliant.
This guy's great.
And Ade goes, great question by Ade. You just knocked out the second best heavyweight in the world. And Wardley goes, well, what does that make me? Now you're the second best heavyweight in the world. So, I believe there could be a rematch, but it all comes down to what Alexander Usyk wants.
I was saying that immediately after his last. I was like, oh, well, let's get a rematch. You know, if it's a somewhat controversial stoppage, and there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say that. The fight was great. Why not do it again? But I'll tell you this. I fancy Wardley again, and probably easier. I think the way that he's developing, the kind of experience, the only thing he lacked was experience, and he's gaining it fast. You spend 11 rounds with Joseph Parker and end up getting a come from behind KO victory, your experience level goes up tenfold. And I don't know, by the look of Joe's face at the end of that fight, like you said, his face being marked up. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about like his persona, his identity at the end of that fight. I think a lot of that's in question now because Joe has always been a tank. He's always been a super durable guy. He's always been a guy with a lot of experience who can deal with punchers. He couldn't deal with Wardley. Wardley was just too dangerous. And I don't know how much is going to be a difference in the next fight. What Joe can do at this stage of his career to deal with a guy like Wardley, who is now riding higher than ever.
Yeah, I agree. And who knows? And then if they do fight again, Wardley doesn't give away the fifth through ninth round. You know, he has.
Or he finishes him in two. Or he finishes him two.
Well, if that round was like both rounds, if the 10th round was a 10 seconds longer and the second round was 10 seconds longer, fight would have been over well before that. But mm-hmm. It's 3-minute rounds. What about Joseph Parker versus Daniel Dubois?
Yeah. He's generally been really good at fighting punchers. You know, you saw he fought Anthony Joshua, he fought Deontay Wilder, he fought Zhile Zhang. Dubois is a pure puncher, and he has gas tank troubles as well. You know, he's coming off of a pretty bad knockout loss. It makes a lot of sense.
Both guys coming off of losses, they were supposed to fight. Remember that?
Yes,
Dubois
that's right.
Pulled a slick one on Joe. Our guy Joe just like getting stomped on, getting his heart ripped out by another girlfriend. Like this was
Joe is the perfect nice guy's finish last.
Yeah, he's holding the roses. He's at the doorstep. The girl's leaving with another guy. and Dubois left with Usyk for the second fight. He's like, I'm sorry, mate. I'm out. And there's Parker sitting there as the flowers just wilt. And I would like to see Parker versus Dubois. Got the history, both coming off losses. Will Frank Warren want to see that? Will he put two quote-unquote losers coming off of losses in the ring together? Will Turkey seems to, like, when this happens, like, conventional wisdom would say, no, promoter would never do that because why would I burn out my top guys like that? But with Turkey involved, he kind of supersedes these promoters now and goes, well, we're going to give him 10 times what he would normally make. So therefore, the fight gets made. And that's I wish boxing was like that. It's one of the things I like about Turkey and what he's doing. I would like that fight. It makes sense. But like I said, Parker needs to take a rest. He might take 6-7 months off, 8 months. And then Dubois, I think, will jump in there. I think Frank Sanchez was being rumored about. Like, I don't think it's going to be next. But if we're playing like, you know, Monday morning quarterback, or we're kind of picking who we want to see, I'd like that fight. It would make sense. Like the winner would get right back in the discussion.
I like it. That's you're putting your matchmaker hat on there, and I like that one. How far are we from seeing a Joseph Parker with Moses Itama?
Bro, that was brought up on the live.
Yeah.
I think that's that.
And that was something we brought up because when people were talking about Itama Usyk, I'm like, we're not talking about anyone with Usyk before Joseph Parker. You got to get through Joseph Parker. Wardley has now done that, but I think it would be a little too much too soon. But yeah, I think that's, we're going to see that somewhat soon, right? Do you agree?
Yes, because that's more conventional wisdom of boxing matchmaking is you find a name who's like on the, I wouldn't say on the decline, but would you say Parker's like, I think the decline's starting?
Yeah, he's on the back nine for sure.
He's 33, 34. He's been in there for 10 plus years now fighting top talent. But this is what promoters do. They find a name. They find a guy who can help market a fight. They find a guy that they believe is beatable but still poses a threat to a Talma. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would Parker take it probably because he's now fought everyone. What does he have to lose? He can make a lot of money. I believe that they're paying potential Atama opponents crazy money right now. Like, he's got that air about him, and he's the air. He is the guy. So there, Parker could ask for a king's ransom and probably get it. That would be nuts. I don't know if Parker's like there mentally. Is Parker there? You know, willing to be the guy that puts Atama over. I don't know. I don't think he has that much of an ego, but all you guys fighters have egos.
Yes, sure, certainly do. It's part of why we were able to get in the ring half naked in front of millions of viewers and put our lives on the line and risking embarrassment and death in front of millions. You got to have a big ego to do that.
Jesus, half naked, risking death.
Yeah, yeah. But
welcome to boxing. Man, so you want to be a fighter?
So you want to be a fighter? Pick up my book. It's on Amazon. yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. But yeah, I know and we talked about this in the last show. I said, listen, if Wardley wins this fight, it kind of turns the division upside down a bit in a good way because he's a big star over there, sells tons of tickets. He's going to sell a lot more now. And it seems like a very easy and intriguing and good looking fight now for Usyk. I know a lot of people weren't excited about Joseph Parker and Usyk. It's the reason it's been looked over so many times. But now, Wardley, Usyk? Usyk, Wardley? That's a hell of a good-looking fight to me.
I think it's a great fight. I had people telling me, like, oh, I does nothing. Usyk's going to mop the floor with them. Why? What's the point?
Might.
Yeah, he might. He's definitely going to be the favorite, Usyk, but we got to tune in and watch because this Wardley guy's knocking fools out. He's knocking them out later in rounds. He's carrying his power late. This is heavyweight boxing. Last I checked, Usyk is approaching 40 years old. And, you know, we're always looking for that one day where Usyk's going to look his age and finally look human. Once again, Usyk is the favorite in a fight with Wardley. But the fact that Wardley has the one-hitter quitter in him makes that fight exciting. It's a tightrope that Usyk has to walk once again. If Wardley was this technical fighter who had like 10 knockouts and 40 fights, I wouldn't be that excited about this fight. But the fact that the guy can carry his power late and has a real life Rocky on top of it. Rocky, that's how you promote this fight. Real life, Rocky versus Goliath. Rocky versus the generational great. Hometown hero in Wardley versus the guy that was talking about being one of the 10 best heavyweights of all time. Yeah, it's going to happen next. And also on top of it, financially, it makes sense. We were looking for that in the last episode. Like, how do they do a Parker versus Usyk? Could we do it in the States? Could we do it at the O2 Arena, despite neither of them being British? Now you have a guy in Wardley who has put asses in seats now, two fights in a row. And yeah, it's going to happen. That fight, I would put my money on that fight being next.
Yeah, and the financial aspect, like you mentioned at the end there, I think that's a big part of this too, because the profile of Wardley is now massive. So the fight makes sense for just way too many reasons. The only thing holding it up with is what you said earlier was the injury of Usyk, his back. If he comes back and he watches that fight, I mean, I don't know. So whether he's hurt or not, you know, that's up to him, but the fight is up to him.
WBO was like, I saw you dancing, man.
You posted a video of yourself dancing. Like, we gotta
I love WBO doing that. Like, show us the doctor's note.
Yeah, that is pretty good. And accountability should matter. But yeah, I mean, does Usyk watch that fight now and go, yeah, that's a good challenge. Let's get this fight going. You know who's not gonna fight Wardley? Moses Atuma. We are not going to see that, Atuma. We are not going to see that fight anytime soon.
I had a bunch of people asking me about that too, and I
said, no way. They're not risking that.
I said, it doesn't make sense right now. I said, let them do their careers on separate tracks and see if they meet one day. Mm-hmm. Let Wardley do his thing because he's now in the driver's seat for a Usyk fight, and if he could somehow beat Usyk, that Atuma Wardley fight is colossal. If Usyk beats Atalma, no, if Usyk beats Wardley, that's another opponent candidate down, and it makes Atalma's case even better. You just keep doing what you're doing now with Atalma. He's not fighting in December. Just ready. He's going to be fighting in January. Let him do his own thing. Let Wardley do his own thing and Usyk, and then see where the chips fall in 2026, even 2027.
Yep, I agree. Heavyweight division, man, is streaking. We got some young guys coming up. And even though Wardley, I know he's 30. He's not that young. For heavyweight, he is young. And especially because he's learning so fast. He's learning on the job. And he's a young 30. If that makes sense, because
he only has, how many rounds does he have in his career?
Yeah, that's another thing.
Oh, he just fought 10 last night. I think that Atalma was in attendance. They had a whole bunch of heavyweights there. What was going on there? Chisora, White, Jarrell Miller segment during the broadcast was wild.
The way that Dillian White and Chisora were looking at each other during that interview was intense. let them fight again. I don't care. Let them fight again.
I think Chisora is fighting Dillian White for a third time.
Yeah, well, good.
December 13th.
That's who they should be fighting.
All blend together. Chisora and Dillian White.
They're all good, though.
Same person to me.
They're all good. They're good fights.
Yeah, I'll watch, of course. 83 rounds for Wardley.
That's crazy.
83 rounds.
21 fights, 83 rounds, 3 amateur fights, I believe they said. Yeah,
not even amateur fights. They said they were like smoker, white collars. Yeah,
exactly. So, yikes. What did he play before this? What sport did he do?
I think everyone plays soccer there, football.
That's a big soccer player, Jesus. But 6'5". He's very athletic. For a big guy to move the way that he does, super impressive.
He also has a giant head. And
what's funny? The big heads, man. The big guys with big heads usually have good chins.
Holyfield comes to mind. I think he posted a picture with someone. Oh, it was Usyk. It was Usyk and Wardley like 10 years ago or X amount of years ago in a gym session. And Wardley's head was so much bigger than Usyk's. And it's a big target too, but he's got a really good chin, granite chin, because Parker landed a crazy shot in the middle rounds too that sounded like a gunshot. And on the live, I jumped up because I thought the fight was going to be over, and he just ate it. So I don't know exactly how he ate that punch, and the dude's got a granite chin. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of groundswell support now for Usyk versus Wardley. I believe Usyk is training and said that he wants to fight early next year. So I think the injury is what it is. That's in the past. And now we should get Wardley Usyk. I mean, this is what boxing is supposed to be, right? We can't say, you know, meritocracy doesn't exist. Then we get ourselves like a de facto semifinal match between Parker and Wardley. And then now it's time for Wardley to get his shot and be like, no, he doesn't deserve it. No, he's not ready. He's not going to beat him. No. This is what boxing is. Just put him in there. Yeah, he's 30. And if he loses to Usyk, no big deal. You know, he'll be back in the mix. He lost to a generational great. It would make Usyk even bigger and badder. I love the fight. I think we have to get that next.
Yeah, I mean, it makes the most logical sense, but this is not a logical world that we live in, boxing. Look at Joseph Parker. He should have been the logical next step for Usyk for how many years now, and that didn't happen, and now we're here. But that's not the way this sport works, unfortunately. It's just because you earn your shot doesn't mean you get your shot. But Wardley not only earned his shot, but he's probably going to get it because of all the other things that we mentioned before in terms of him, his profile, the money that can be made, his fan base, his lore at this point. And the fact that he's getting better, dude. He looked so good yesterday. So good. I was so impressed with him and what he's been working on. The confidence level, the athleticism, the boxing chops. He showed good boxing skills last night. The jab. You mentioned the jab. I wouldn't expect that from a guy with 20 fights under his belt. To do that at world-class level with a world-class guy. Super impressed all around. I am very excited about Fabio Wardley and what's next. And hopefully next is an Usyk fight.
Yeah, I think we get that. If you put a gun to my head, Usyk Wardley May, maybe earlier, April 2002. Are we going? Is that worth going to?
That's worth going to.
I can't sit around and wait for Fury AJ to happen for our trip to the UK.
I know. That fight is weird because Fury just keeps dangling. He keeps dangling it. He's playing with so our emotions. Annoying. He's pulling so our annoying. Heartstrings. He's playing with our emotions.
I'll say it. Tyson Fury is annoying. You're not going to He is freaking annoying. Just fight AJ.
Yeah, I know. That fight has to happen. So much money to be made. Such a great... That would be such an event. Ridiculous event.
Right. We need events. We always talk about this. We need 2 or 3, 4 events every year for boxing to stay afloat.
And events between boxers, please. Not sideshow fights. Not sideshow events where we bring out guys who are nearly in the retirement home or are in the retirement home to make an event. Let's have active fighters. Even though these guys are older and they're not the best heavyweights in the world anymore, I think they match up great and it's a huge event. But listen, if Wardley Usyk happens in the O2, that's worth going to as well, because we get to see a generational talent, one of the best heavyweights who's ever lived, fight for probably one of the last times of his career, and two, Wardley is a dynamo. Like, he's a legit dynamo. Like, that's an awesome event, I believe.
Yeah, and then that's two big heavyweight fights in the UK. Hopefully we get Inoue Nakatani next year in Tokyo. Get that passport ready.
I'm ready to get stamped. I'm ready to get stamped on that passport. Japan, Tokyo, boom. O2, boom. London, boom.
Nuts. Crazy stuff. Caballero came up a lot on my post-fight show.
He came up a lot on the show, too. He came on the show a lot.
And people are saying, I'd rather see Caballero fight Usyk because Caballero...
Why?
Has a better chance to win than Fabio Wardley.
I don't agree. But what was the argument there? Why?
I didn't go too deep. I think it's the body punching of Caballero. I think it's the athleticism. I think he's kind of looked at like this unknown that's really good. He's like a hipster pick to kind of beat Usyk to get that shot. He's beaten Makhmudov, Sanchez, Zhilhai Zhang. So he does have some momentum.
That's a good run. And he did KO. He did stop Zhang. Very impressive to do.
Yes. Caballero's a great fighter, but we're talking a business here. And no offense to Caballero, not the biggest
profile.
No, zero profile.
Yeah. Whereas I like him. I think he's talented. He's big. 6'3", 80-inch reach.
He's not leapfrogging Wardley, though.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And in his recent form, you know, if you look at it, like, Zhilhai Zhang's 42. Frank Sanchez, I heard he had a knee injury or knee issue.
He hit half a knee in that fight.
Yeah, going into the fight. And Makhmudov has just shown to be not that good. So that win, in hindsight, hasn't aged well. You look on paper and those three wins, it's like, oh, Zhang, Sanchez, Makhmudov. But then you look behind the numbers and you're like, those are not as impressive as they once seemed.
A lot of people are doing that with Parker. Remember, I was playing devil's advocate in the last episode take a real look at these last three wins for Parker. I saw a lot of that yesterday. That's just the nature of the sport. You could literally peel back everyone's resume and be like, this guy wasn't the best at this moment. Just the name.
People do it to Floyd. People do it to, you know, everybody. You're right.
Yeah, but Caballero doesn't have the profile. He's not putting 20,000 in O2. He's definitely a worthy opponent, and I think he needs to get one or two more wins. And if Usyk's still around, then he can get that Usyk fight. If not, then Caballero joins the queue, you know, when the belts disperse, like Talma, Caballero. It's a healthy division. Heavyweight division's healthy right now. I mean, the guys are all aging out. Like, Fury Joshua a couple of years ago would have been looked at as like the crown jewel of this division, and we have to see it. Now it's just like a throw-in. It's like, oh, it'd be cool if those guys fought. Because now we have Wardley. We still have Usyk. We have Atalma. We have Caballero. I'm definitely missing some names in here in terms of like exciting heavyweights that could, you know, next 5 years kind of.
How about Jolov? He never gets brought up. And
he's annoying. He's just, come on. What is that guy doing?
He's a problem. Well, yeah, what are they doing with him? He is a problem, and he should be out there.
He fought recently and didn't look amazing.
Okay, but they don't keep him active. How do you expect them to look good all the time if you don't keep him active? That guy should be everyone should be talking about him. Like, we're talking about all these young guys. Jolov should be in the discussion, but he's not. And he's not because he's just not active, and I don't know what the hell they're doing with him. I heard mutterings with that when some of the top-ranked shows back in the day with him, but...
He's taking money from the government to fight in these amateur tournaments. He's double dipping. So every time he takes money from the government, it's great for him financially, but I think he takes a step back professionally.
Yeah,
and
that's a shame.
Which is really hard because you got to make money in this sport because it's brutal. So he's kind of giving up a lot of his, you know, a lot of his competitiveness right now, and also just his visibility, because he should be in the mix. Like a Talma Jalilov should have been like the super fight that we were building towards.
Yeah, yeah. But you mentioned, you know, in terms of the next reign of heavyweights, I think we're in an exciting time. These guys are good. You know, we mentioned Ajit Kabayel and Talma. Wardley now is a top guy. You know, all these guys are, I believe, 30 and under. So I think the heavyweight division and thus boxing is in a good place.
And then you have a generational great in Usyk that you can knock off.
Yeah, that's another thing. If you can collect that head before he goes, oof. But
it's like the WWE.
He probably retires undefeated, honestly.
I hope so. But if it was like the WWE and Vince McMahon was pulling the strings here.
Oh, yeah. If he was writing out the script.
Someone's knocking off Usyk and getting put over. One thing is missing, though, from heavyweight division, a U.S. heavyweight.
Yeah.
This is the lowest it's ever been.
I don't see us having like a real heavyweight. Who do we have right now? We still have Torres. Like he's our last bastion. Am I missing someone? Is there an American heavyweight out there?
Big baby.
Jarrell Miller?
No, that's right.
Well, no, nah. I think Jarrell Miller has a better shot of doing something than
he's not
than
carrying Jarrell. The torch. Jarrell Miller is not carrying the torch of men's U.S. boxing heavyweight style.
No, but that guy, talk about fights falling through. Big baby Miller, man, he cannot get a fight. He's just constantly posting about how guys don't want to fight him.
Well, he also did an insane amount of anabolic steroids.
Yeah. I mean, failed every drug.
I'll say it. If anyone's listening, if you're a basketball player out there, you're like 6'4", or a football player, maybe put some gloves on.
Yeah. Try it out.
There's a lot of money right now. There's a lot of money.
There's
a massive void in the U.S. There's a Saudi government ATM right now.
It's just so hard to be good at this sport. Like you can't. It's so hard to start late and be good at this sport.
Wilder's a freak who started at 18 and was able to talk about movies. I know we talked movies last episode. Wilder's life is movie-esque. Started at 18.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Won a bronze in the Olympics.
That's insane. That is insane. Like, that is such freaky talent to be able to do that.
Yeah, if you're an American listening to this and you're tall and you have some athletic ability, NFL will probably give you a little more instant fame. NBA, you could make 200, 300 million.
You know what? I'll say this. Come train with me because I want to get some of this heavyweight money too. I could be a trainer.
Bro, Chris Algieri, the trainer? Let's go. Let me join your staff.
Yeah, if I...
How can I benefit from this?
If this podcasting thing doesn't work out and I need to somehow find a way to stay in the game, I'll just throw the towel over my shoulder and now I'm a trainer.
I can see it already.
Still in it. Still in it. Still in the game.
I can see it already. And you can continue to do the podcast. I mean, that's easy work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun too.
It's fun. All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Heavyweight division alive and well, just not in the U.S. We have some really fun names. Fabio Wardley has now etched his name into the record books, the history books, the current heavyweight rankings. Really good stuff from him. Any last words for our faithful listeners?
No, if you haven't seen the fight, the Joseph Parker Fabio Wardley fight, or I should say Fabio Wardley Joseph Parker fight, go check it out. Go tell your friends. It's a great watch, potentially fight of the year, and something that the heavyweight division really needed. So go check it out.
All right, everyone, protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We'll be back later this week.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.